This is pretty much pop culture podcast in need of 4 units, own egg, a round of epi, and a chest tube stat. Today we're discussing medical dramas in light of the success of The Pit. This is Mark Lintemeyer, the cocky surgeon with no bedside manner who takes no guff.
This is Al Baker, the ornery hospital administrator who's got no time for your cowboy medical antics.
I'm Sarah Lynn Bruck, and I am also the plucky, long-suffering nurse who's seen it all.
This is Lawrence Ware, the brilliant doctor who's haunted by his demons.
Wow. So this was my request that we do this, and Lawrence was very hesitant about The Pit specifically. These things have gotten increasingly graphic. I remember when watching ER, because it was on for 15 years, and I saw at least 10 years of it.
I watched every single episode of ER. I loved that show.
Okay. So at some point, they started like showing the chest cavity with people's hands in it. They didn't do that the first seasons, I remember, but standards changed. But, you know, we knew that The Pit would have. So how scarring was it, Lawrence?
Okay, so here's the thing. I am not a big fan of gore. I love horror movies, but I'm not a big fan of gore. I don't like the terrifier. I don't like things that are just over-the-top gory. This movie rivals many horror movies in the levels of gore that it has. And now I understand that in the actual real world of doing medical stuff, this is shown, or this, I don't know if it's shown, it just happens. But I was not ready.
And boobs, because that's a thing that they wouldn't do. Oh, yes, you were operating on your chest, but you have a bra on. That's okay. That's the way.
It threw me for a loop. Now, outside of the gore, which I had to watch between my fingers because it was so much for me, it's a really good show. It's a really, really good show. I really enjoyed the show, but man, that gore was hard to get past for me. And I just wish that maybe there was like an edited version where I could watch it without the over-the-top gore. But it was really good, but man, it was hard to get to those gory parts.
Oh my God. Yuck.
Yeah, I was a lot happier in my life before I knew what degloving meant.
I don't want to know it.
The gore was really interesting because it was that it felt a little bit performative to me. Like the fact that the degloved foot was among the first visuals that we saw in the show, that felt very much like a thesis statement to me. Like the show is like, this ain't your granddad's medical drama, so get ready for stuff to get real. But thankfully, it's never more than once or maybe twice an episode that you see something truly vile. And it feels like the gore is there to ground the show in reality, and it does that very well.
I cannot unsee certain things. I feel like I'm a different person after watching The Pit in some ways.
I have been deflowered. I completely agree.
All right. So now we've addressed the bloody elephant in the room. Let's go around, sort of give some history. So again, I'd watched many years of ER, and then I thought that was enough. Like, I don't need to ever see another medical drama of any sort ever again. I did then start watching The Good Doctor when it came on, sort of as a guilty pleasure. But it is, you know, educational about autism, but it had a lot of corny soap stuff. And I watched all the seasons of that, and no matter how silly and woke it got, and that kind of got me a little more interested. I watched a couple seasons of The Resident because I just thought it was like, yes, what if there's a medical drama in which everybody's an asshole? Like, I just thought that was an interesting twist on the formula. And then going into this, I was challenging you folks like, okay, watch 2 episodes of as many that you can stomach, just so you get, you know, here's the premise and then here's how we're going to sustain it. And I had never seen any Grey's Anatomy. I'd never seen any New Amsterdam or Doc or the various other things that are on. And now I have a giant list and was even like going back and watching little bits of things from like 2012. And because there have been a lot of these that have come and gone that probably people are not aware of, unless you are like actually cued into this.
Yeah, I'll jump right in. I love medical dramas. Like, I've loved them for many, many years. I've watched many. So I watched every single episode of ER, and it was appointment television for me. I watched House. Goodness gracious, what else did I watch? I watched The Good Doctor. I watched Chicago Med. I watched Private Practice. I loved Scrubs. I watched Royal Pains. I've watched, oh my goodness, there's even this show in Britain called Call the Midwife, which is kind of medical-ish-y, right? Watch that. So I'm a big fan of it. And I like the drama surrounding medical shows, But I guess I want it without the actual medical stuff. Oh, Grey's Anatomy. Watch that too. But I guess Grey's Anatomy is more of a soap opera show. But Grey's Anatomy, eh, it wasn't really my thing, but I kind of pulled into it. But nevertheless, all right. So I want the drama of medical, but I don't want to see stuff. Like, I love a baby, but I don't want to see that little thing being brought into the world. You know, so that's my thing. Like, I want the stuff. Like, I want the good feelings and the vibes and the tension, but I don't want to actually see them do their jobs. And my ideal show was a show that's all about trying to figure out the medical stuff without ever showing me anything, which is what House kind of did and what the earlier seasons of ER did. And so that's right there in my wheelhouse. The Pit was... Woo. But I love the shows. I deeply love them. I just wish I didn't have to deal with, like, the human element of blood and guts and gore. That would be ideal for me.
Lauren should be a pathologist. Don't.
Yes, I should.
I am in the right profession. I should not have nothing to do with blood or bodies or anything like that. I am so happy I don't have to do that. I am too squeamish to watch much of this. So I don't have a huge background with medical procedurals. I did watch the first few seasons of ER like the rest of the country did. I remember my parents watched MASH, but I wasn't allowed to watch MASH. I think they thought it was too scary.
Is that a medical drama?
Yeah. I mean, it was set in a Korean War hospital. I was also thinking of China Beach as well. I watched a little bit of China Beach, but most of it, I don't need to see any of that stuff. And I really liked The Pit a lot, but I feel a little bit scarred from watching every single one of those episodes. I watched all 15 of those episodes, and I am seriously not the same person.
I don't know if I'm watching the second season, because they're only going to up the gore.
It is gnarly. Oh, my God.
I was just thinking, if Lawrence only wants to watch the first few, that's fine. But, I mean, Lawrence, you referred to it at the beginning as a movie, and that's essentially what it was, a 15-hour-long continuous movie. So, like, how could you just watch the first couple? Besides which, as I told you guys, the real action doesn't get going until the last 5 hours or whatever, you know, when the MASH casualty event happens. That's not a spoiler. It is
a spoiler. I mean, it happens later in the season, but it's fine.
Al, what's your...
Yeah, it felt like they designed the arc of the season imagining that people are going to know that there's some kind of MASH casualty event towards the end because they tease it and then there's fake outs and then there's you know, comings and goings. I don't think that spoiler is going to ruin too much of your enjoyment. But firstly, The Pit is a fantastically well-made season of TV. So I'll go into my history of medical dramas in a bit, but I think it's going to be difficult to heap enough praise on this show. It reminded me very much of the first season of The Bear in that there's a real joy in the sheer competence of the people who are staffing this emergency room. So much of the human drama just comes from them continuing to try to do the best that they possibly can in increasingly like fraught circumstances. And that together with just how sharp the writing was and how developed all of the characters were, the fact that the dialogue always felt like it was being delivered by real people just felt really special, especially in the context of having done my homework and gone and back and watched a bunch of other medical dramas. So one of my hot takes for this podcast has been, I now think that the genre of medical drama is so broad as to be more or less meaningless. And just even more so than like law enforcement or police procedurals or detective shows or whatever, because at least in a detective show, there's always going to be a mystery. In a medical show, there's not even necessarily a lot of like illness, depending on the show that you're watching. There's shows that are just soap operas that are set in hospitals or in small communities, like loosely based around a doctor, and it's mostly based around, like the plots are mostly based around the community. Or there are some like medical shows which are more about, you know, law enforcement, or that MASH is a good example, more about war than even they are about medicine. So it's a phenomenally huge and broad genre. And I was just started thinking about why it's been the case, because I looked at some of the medical dramas have been on TV as long as TV has been around, and they're some of the longest running shows that have ever been made. And really, it's kind of easy to see why that is, because you get built-in tension, you get built-in stakes, and you are automatically sympathetic to all of your lead characters, because no one's going to look at a doctor and like with no further information and go, that guy is a prick. You're automatically on side. And so, yeah, it just makes for great, easy drama. You can buy into the story really easily. So it makes sense that there's a bunch of this stuff out there. But The Pit feels like a real turning point to me. It feels more than any other medical drama that I've seen that is taking the subject matter like really seriously. And I think that's very special. And I'm amazed it took this long for this show to be made, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to think whether like General Hospital counts.
Why not?
Of course it counts.
So this is, I feel like St. Elsewhere or ER innovated the idea of actually like doing some research and using accurate that I, what little I saw of General Hospital, there might have been no doctors involved in making it whatsoever. it's just a fantasy.
But there are doctors on the screen.
Well, that, I think that's what, why Al was saying that it is impossibly broad and it doesn't have to have anything to do with the medicine. Whereas I feel at its extreme, like it could almost be an instructional video. Like of how the, that if you really pay attention, it's like those people that pay attention to the crime shows and learn how to cover up or how to ferret out, you know, how to commit crimes more effectively so you won't get caught. I think comparably, I don't know, as opposed to even in ER, like, is it like technobabble? Like when in Star Trek, when they start like, oh, rays of shields, blah, 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 like with the twin force, like they've clearly just made all this shit up. But I'm guessing, at least starting with ER, with Michael Crichton's intense interest in this area and his history as a doctor, it's like, okay, let's actually put what really happens on the screen. So that's sort of my dividing line, that if it's merely fantastical, I don't think even Grey's Anatomy, even though it's very silly in its soap opera aspects, from what I understand, it's still trying to show actual medical things. And it's not just like determining whether, I don't know, this is a one question, is determining whether the patient is going to survive or not, just based on how dramatically, like, do we want the people to be sad or do we want people to be happy? Or is it just like, well, this is how this would actually turn out? Is there a sense of realism?
So that's such a good question, because I'm probably more mixed on this show than maybe you three are. There were some things that deeply bothered me about it. But one of my favorite aspects of The Pit was when they would get into all of the technical jargon. And I don't know what any of that is. Most of that stuff, if you did put it into like a sci-fi, you know, if they're doing the same thing in Star Trek, my eyes glaze over. I'm not listening anymore. I'm out. Seacrest out. But because they do it so convincingly, this is the one time when they're not telegraphing everything. They're just being as real as possible, I know exactly what's going on with that patient, even though I don't really know what's going on with that patient. I do know, you know, that there is something deeply wrong with the patient, or the patient is going to be okay, or that Dr. Robbie is going on far too long on, you know, spending way too much time on this patient. You know, you get all of that, even though all of it is kind of cloaked in this jargon that would ordinarily mean nothing to me.
I considered it like, should we have an actual physician on here? Probably actual physicians will not watch these shows. I don't know why. Just like actual lawyers don't necessarily watch legal dramas. Actual cops are not going to be so interested in cop shows, because either it's going to be too close to home. Like, I don't need to experience this. I already know what this is like. This is not teaching me anything new. Or it's going to be offensively fantastical. And I bet even The Pit, as sort of extreme realism as it presents itself, is still constructed as to be a gripping action show. And the question I just asked, like, are we going to determine, not that it's, you know, we're just having a patient survive for purely dramatic purposes when it would never happen that way in real life, but they're setting up like, okay, we're going to have these, we want to have people having the worst day of their lives. We don't want to have everything be, I don't know. It seems like there's often a balance on these shows that there'll be an A plot, a B plot, maybe a C plot. And if something bad happens to one person, well, somebody else is probably, it's got to work out for them because it can't just be a huge bummer. I don't know if Pitt is as strict about that.
No, no, I like that too, actually.
Honestly, I think not having a doctor on here is a good, because this is probably out of left field, but I think it has applicability here. There's this movie called God's Not Dead. And in God's Not Dead, there is a philosophy professor who shows up. Mark, have you seen this?
I've seen clips.
It infuriates me.
It's an infamous movie.
It infuriates me. A philosophy professor shows up, and there's this entire section about God, and he just, like, passes around a sheet of paper and says, if you just sign this sheet of paper, we're just not going to cover God because God's dead. And it infuriates me. And by the way, it's so bad that the philosophy professor dies in the end. Like, it's over the top. Anyway, but that's how a doctor, I imagine, would feel about these kind of shows. Like, the same kind of anger that I have about that particular movie. They're like, that's not how it works. We would never do anything like that. I imagine that's what a doctor would say. Because that movie, to this day, in fact, I show that movie in philosophy class to let them know, I'm not like this. This is not how actually philosophy works. Anyway, bottom line, I imagine that's the way a doctor would be. Particularly an ER doctor, they would watch that show and be like, no, that's not how we do things. And they'd just be criticizing it. And that's kind of not the point, really. Like, when you're making a medical show, you want a little bit of realism, maybe too much realism when it comes to the pit, but it's all about the drama. That's really what you're trying to go after, right? And oftentimes medical doctors, they're just doing their job. There's not a lot of drama. I mean, maybe they're falling in love, I don't know, but there's not this level of drama in an actual ER. I just don't think that's what's happening.
I just wildly dispute this assumption that you guys are operating with. So when I was at university, I was friends with a few medical students. They all adored House, and literally every time
really?
I went around,
did they really?
Yeah, every time I went around their house, they were binging the medical dramas. I didn't believe you to the point that I just Googled what do doctors think of The Pit, and several articles have come up about how much doctors love The Pit. And The Pit in particular, I'm not surprised, because one of the big messages that The Pit is pushing is when the shit hits the fan in the ER, the people who work there are honest to God heroes. And it's not hard to see why you would enjoy seeing your profession glorified in the way that medical staff are in The Pit. But also just in general, like, cops love cop shows, even though they're not realistic, and even though they're probably sometimes because they're not realistic. And I think medics tend to love medical shows as well. The reason, like Lawrence brought up, God's Not Dead, and I think the real problem is that there just aren't very many good movies or TV shows about philosophy professors.
Because
philosophers
boring.
Love The Good Place. There's a really good philosopher, and there's a very flattering, well, not very flattering.
It's not very flattering at all.
Philosophy professor in there, but a likable portrayal of a philosophy professor in there, and a good exploration of what philosophy is about. The professionals will like it when they feel like their profession is being done justice to you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's no entertaining philosophy show. It's just not happening.
Let's not get sucked into that vortex, please.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Inherent in an ER, you know, in an emergency room is you've got really high stakes, lots of drama. Often you've got lots of conflict, and that all is what you need in good storytelling, you know? And I don't know that you're going to find that in anything about any professor at all, not just a philosophy professor. You're right, Al. I've read lots of articles about how right they're getting the experience of what it's like to be a doctor in an ER. However, I've been reading several articles about how they're not getting the mental health aspect as right as they should. And I wondered if you guys had thought about that. We've got our social worker who is on the scene. We see the way that they're treating the unhoused man. And then also the mental health of the doctors themselves. I wondered if any of that to you, if it smacked you as real to you, or if there was anything there that you thought, I'm not sure.
It all seemed psychologically plausible. I think as far as mental health is dealt with in the show, maybe the most unrealistic part or the thing that I see the most possibility for criticism in is how well the hospital in general treats people who have various mental health conditions. Like, the patients are not underserved in the hospital, which is probably not true to the experience of most people who go into a hospital with whatever mental health condition. But as far as the mental health toll that working there takes on the staff, it felt really plausible to me, with the kind of caveat that this is the worst professional day of most of their lives. So, you know, if every day working in an ER led to half the members of staff having some kind of mental breakdown, then yeah, the profession would be even less sustainable than it is currently. But those two nickels aside, it seemed fine to me. What were the complaints?
One was the unhoused gentleman who had the rats that came out of him.
Yeah.
And I think they called him some sort of name. And I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, I haven't spent a ton of time in emergency rooms. I don't know how much time they have to devote to that. You know, it seems like bedside manner is something that is secondary, that they learn kind of on the fly. And I just don't know what the role of an emergency room doctor how they can actually fold that into the amount of time that they spend with a patient, right? Like they really have 15 minutes, you know, the maximum. First 15 minutes.
If that,
right?
If that.
Yeah. If that, exactly. To spend with a patient and their priorities. I would think that the mental health portion would be last, but according to some of these articles, they were like, no, that is now an integral part of the job.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time in ERs, but anytime I have, I think I've seen that I spend a lot of time with the nurses, the actual doctors, 5 minutes, like not very much. Even taking, you know, a kid into the ER for whatever, it's usually the nurses. The doctor will come in and kind of give the final diagnosis or whatever. You know, the issue that I think this show does a really good job of is kind of like dealing with that, because that bedside manner, all the doctors that I know, and I know quite a few, like they're good people outside of their job, but they tell me very straightforwardly at their job, they have stuff to do. Like they're very, very busy. They're stretched, you know, very, very thin. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is pretty accurate. Like the way that it kind of portrayed that.
Something I really, really liked about the show was the way they explained, especially in like the first half of the season, that they did a really good job of explaining not just what their procedure was, which is great because they have the great conceit of like there's a lot of people who are on their first day, so we get to have senior doctors explain mm-hmm. why we do things to the junior ones. But it's not just you should be nice to people. There's a really nice explanatory layer behind that of like, you should be nice to people because that's how you get the best medical outcomes. Like they're in a slightly different occasion when Robbie is chewing out the guy who turns out to have a drug problem for being overly harsh. And he's not saying you shouldn't shout because it's not nice. He's saying you shouldn't shout because that's not how you do effective teaching. And if you don't do effective teaching, you don't get an effective doctor. And if you don't get an effective doctor, then people die. So I really loved that about the show, that it wasn't just showing them being nice or being like woke or whatever. It was showing that acting with care, with compassion, with empathy gets you better medical outcomes. And that's why it's a good idea to do it.
So part of what we're edging on is what messages about the system these shows mm-hmm. are putting forward, that even the resident, mm-hmm. it's not just that the people are being assholes. It's that it's just highlighting how easy it is for medical error to occur, how insurance is the enemy and causes the doctors to have to make decisions that aren't actually in patient interest for the purposes of saving money. So these are very common things. I was sort of wondering, I watched a couple episodes of Transplant, mostly because it takes place in Canada. And I was wondering, would they... And they're still complaining about stuff, you know, because they're still overcrowding. There's always problems wherever you are. So, you know, maybe one reason why doctors would be rah, rah, rah about these are not just that they're being shown as heroes, but it is showing some of the actual challenges. And these shows are trying to like make a difference to cause, oh, we want doctors to actually listen to patients. We want to focus on care and not just on cost, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, insurance was barely mentioned. And is that just because it's an emergency room and insurance is like less relevant in the immediate treatment of a life-threatening injury? Like you just assume you're going to, like it's going to get paid for or you're going to die. So it doesn't matter in that moment whether you have insurance or not. Or did they just leave it out?
I think if you have insurance, I have insurance. So every time I've had to go to the ER or whatever, it's insurance has been involved. What, Lawrence?
No one doubts that you have insurance. Like, of course you have insurance. Well,
no, I mean, but not everybody has insurance. And
no, not everybody has insurance, but you have insurance there. You know, I think that the issue, it's clear you have insurance, dog. Like, you're a professor. Okay. Of course you have insurance.
I have very good insurance. But anyway.
No, the person who has the best insurance out of all of us is Al. Al has stellar insurance over there in the UK. Like, Al is doing great.
It's not insurance.
I think that, is it not insurance? I thought that was it. Okay, anyway, I think that the issue here, we're getting way off topic.
That's what you guys
are jealous. I'm so jealous.
I want to move to the UK, honestly, because of your healthcare. Anyway, Al, you can facilitate that. Let me know. I'm looking for a job. Not really. All right. Nevertheless, the point, though, is that I think that in an ER, like, usually it's more about, like, taking care of the person first, and then you'll worry about the insurance. Like, insurance thing is something that happens at the end of the stay, once things are stabilized, all that kind of stuff. If you're in crisis, they're not going to be like, hey, check to see that guy's insurance or whatever. I think that's just kind of the nature of the job. Like, when I went to the ER for small stuff, yeah, they were all about that insurance and filling out paperwork and all that kind of stuff. But if it's like a crisis situation, I don't anticipate a lot of insurance talk. If you're being degloved or something like that, I just don't think that's going to be happening.
I think the resident might take place at least partly in an ER. It certainly seems like they're rushing around a lot. And there is a lot of discussion of like, are we going to admit this person? Oh, well, this person doesn't have insurance. We shouldn't admit them. Once we admit them, then the hospital is on the hook for the full cost of their care for however. Can we send them to another hospital? Can we do something else like that?
That show sounds like a bunch of jerks. Holy crap. Oh my gosh.
I mean, yes, terrible. That's kind of the point. And the other side of that, New Amsterdam is another one, new one, which seemed very promising to me because like at least one of the cast members was like an old bald guy who looked like a realistic doctor and was not just a young, hot person. But and it had this optimistic, like, this is a public hospital and we serve everyone and I'm the new director and I'm going to turn it around and we're going to really focus on patient care. But then it just turned into like a bunch of cheese dip. But it was definitely still trying to deal very earnestly with the political problems of like, well, how does such a place get funded? How do we deal with long-term chronic problems that people have?
The way that they dealt with COVID, the way that they dealt with it, it's all still very earnest, which sometimes bugged me. It got a little preachy there sometimes. You know, I know there's a nursing shortage and yeah, it sucks that an entire floor of rooms can't be used because there's a nursing shortage. And I think they hit on that almost every episode. We get it. But I like that they were making this, even though it felt so much like ER, it was still felt really fresh and new. You know, it felt like they were hitting on a lot of stuff that the medical industry has been going through over the last, like, you know, 2 years. You know, it all felt very, very new, which is why I think this show is working so well. You know, I mean, and not just the fact that all of the issues that they're talking about, you know, like gun violence and, you know, things like that, the issues that they were bringing in were very new, but also just the way that the show was presented to us. It was all taking place in the hospital itself. We didn't go home with any of them. Anytime we learned about some of their personal history, they had to fold it into the actual immediate storyline itself, which I thought was really fun. You know, bring in that horrible ex-husband, you know, bring in the kid, you know, bring in all that stuff if you really need to, only if you really need to. And I appreciated that. And I love that it wasn't having to work in a format that had to account for commercial breaks or a specific amount of time per episode. They had that flexibility, and I thought they used it really well.
So is the success of one of these shows almost entirely dependent on the characters? That it seems like, yes, okay, there could be some interesting cases they're dealing with, but you don't watch these to become educated in medical stuff. There's these interesting political points that are made, but you don't watch it because you want a policy of recommendations. It's just like, are these characters appealing or are they not? And there is that conflict I was just pointing out that I would like them to be starkly realistic like actual doctors. But probably most actual doctors are fairly boring and certainly not the hottest people you have ever seen in your lives. So it seems like the Pitt managed to have a nice balance. They didn't strike you as like, this is Project Runway. You know, this is the new crop of male and female models rolling in here. But, you know, it's still TV. People have to be photogenic enough.
No, there's certainly a stark contrast with ER. I went back and watched the first couple of episodes of ER again. The first thing I noticed was that this is still holds up hugely, just as in terms of
it's a great
like show. Well-made TV.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a really great show, and it is well-written, and it's well-made. It's terrifically acted. But also, like speaking of terrifically acted, God, George Clooney, Jesus Christ,
smoke
he
is show. Handsome.
He was
smoke
always
show, man.
Absolute oh smoke my show. Yeah. And
don't know what you're talking about.
It is one Sarah kind knows. Of TV show you know where you have, like, you put George Clooney on screen and he's a pediatrician and ovaries are melting all across America. And that's not the same kind of, and that's one way of, like, putting doctors on a pedestal, right? You said doctors are cool, sexy, and they look like George Clooney. And then we slowly get towards, like, the House kind of eras where the doctors are, you know, not necessarily sexy, but they're to be admired. They're, like, skillful or what have you. There's always, like, something very admirable about the doctors in a medical drama. And in The Pit, it's like, yeah, some of them are sexy. But what's really, sorry, the original point I was going to make is that, like, the makeup is the real difference. So, like, in ER, everybody has a whole face full of makeup all of the time. In The Pit, some of the characters have makeup, the characters who you would expect to have makeup, the younger girls who are kind of early in their careers. And then, the longer the women have been in the hospital, the less and less makeup they're wearing. And that was great to me. And I thought it was going to be interesting to go back and watch it again and see if they have the makeup fade as the days go on, see whether they thought to realize that people wouldn't be reapplying the makeup as the day went on. But it's realistic enough that I feel like it's fair to ask that kind of question even.
Yeah.
Which is
that's funny.
Amazing.
I was not expecting a deep dive into blush and lipstick and eyeliner from Al. This is...
I'm a complicated man.
This is taking a turn.
I did watch the first four episodes of the last season of ER, which I had never seen before.
Wow, Mark.
And they were just as preened. And did you know Angela Bassett headlined ER in the last season? I did not know that.
I surely did.
I had tuned out quite a bit before that. But I got to see a couple long-standing characters leave the show during those few episodes, so that was good. But the whole thing struck me as way more cheesy than I remembered, especially by contrast, because I watched one episode of Chicago Med, and it made me angry the way that they would, oh, the tear jerking is starting right now. And I don't care about the situation. I don't care about these characters, because maybe perhaps if it was the only show like that I'd ever seen, I would latch onto it, but why should I open my heart to another team?
Wow.
If it's just going to be the same show, basically, as several other things. And a show like ER lasted long enough that there was other than some orderlies or whatever, there's no cast continuity between the beginning and the end of that damn thing. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a different show.
Dr. Robbie had left by then.
Oh, yes. Long.
I think we need to mention, this is one of the great opportunities for TV headcanon in history, that that Dr. Robbie is the older version of the what was his character in ER, the same actor?
I don't remember what his character's name was.
Oh, Carter. Wait.
Yes, Dr. Carter.
Carter.
Yeah. That was great. I love it. And it's worth mentioning because that actor is incredible in The Pit.
He is good.
He's really good.
The authority that he radiates and the control and the depth of care that you can see is just in him.
Absolutely.
And I just wonder, does that just come from the fact that he got 8 years?
I was thinking the same thing.
Pretending to be a doctor.
But we're talking about all of the main characters who come in. You know, you've got Dr. Robbie, you've got Dana, who is the nurse Dana. Holy shit, she is so good in that part. She is so good in that part. She is so Pittsburgh. I mean, with all the yins and all, I mean, she's fantastic. There were several of the younger, I liked Dr. Mel. I thought she was really great with her relationship with her sister. There are other characters. I even like Dr., who is the one with the drug problem? Dr. Langdon, I thought he did a great job. And I like Dr. Collins. But what I thought this show did really well was they established a relationship. The audience has a relationship with those main characters. They have enough episodes to where we get invested. But they also bring in such great supporting players that are also there for multi-episodes. Many are. And you end up developing a relationship with those secondary characters and get invested in their storylines. I mean, there were some storylines that just broke my heart. You know, the kid who came in with the overdose and his parents and the girl and her sister, the one of the girls drowns. And, you know, I mean, just some of these storylines, you end up really, really caring for these characters, And it's because of the writing. I don't think all of the characters were as successful as some, but I thought overall the show did a really good job of not just having us be invested in the main characters, but also in those secondary players who came in for one or a handful of episodes.
I wonder if it helped that you could dwell on the situation for multiple episodes in a way that you can't on a normal medical drama. That maybe that what made me angry about the Chicago Med episode, it was asking me, care about these people right now. We've introduced them 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I'm very, my wife is dying in front of me. And it just seemed like, and the choice of where the music comes in, what kind of music it is, how it is trying to jerk your tears. It really makes a lot of difference to me in terms of how insulting or sappy do I feel like the show is.
Mm-hmm. And they don't do music in this show. They don't do music in the pit.
No.
I mean, I was not a big fan of the doctor with the bangs. Like, she just kept explaining and oversharing to anyone that she could. You know, there was also the mom with the, who didn't give her kids vaccines. I thought she was pretty wooden, or not wooden. I thought she wasn't given enough. It wasn't a very well-developed character. But for the most part, I thought they did a good job.
Can I give a light criticism, though? Maybe even not light, just a criticism. 15 episodes seems a lot. And maybe I am just more accustomed to shorter shows, but 15 episodes just felt like a huge investment. And it felt like it dragged a little bit in places for me. I just don't know if I needed 15 episodes of episodes this long. It's just, I don't know. Did anyone else feel a little bit of a drag sometimes?
I only felt a drag in the very last episode because it was beautifully paced, I thought, up until that point. You had the slow build, and then there was a little bit of a lull, and then shooting, and then drama, drama, drama. That's cleared up by the end of the 14th episode, and then the 15th is just a victory lap, essentially, where you get to check in on all the characters once more. And I don't think we really learned anything important or new in that last episode that couldn't have been shoehorned into the second to last. But I thought the length of the series was pretty good. I didn't get bored. I was really hooked, honestly, right up until the very last episode. And I really liked how they used the time format that they went with. So the idea is it's like a real-time thing, and every episode is an hour of this shift. But they're not slavish about it. Like, we talked about Adolescence a few weeks ago, and that is literally a minute-by-minute walking through the plot. And it worked very well for that show. But it's a very hard thing to do, and you shouldn't do it unnecessarily. And The Pit is a very good example of how to take a premise like that as seriously as you need to in order for it to work for the show. Because, I mean, to start with, most of the episodes are 57 minutes long, so you're not getting that we're being cheated out of at least 3 minutes every hour. But it also felt like it wasn't a real-time show in any meaningful sense. It was giving you a selection of scenes that happened during that hour of the day, but it wasn't a real-time show. And that was great. Helped keep the pace and didn't let it get bogged down. There were lulls through the series, but I wasn't bored until the finale.
I wasn't bored at the finale. I liked the 15-episode arc because I felt like it was, in so many ways, trying to be... There's so much connective tissue between this show and a network show, which normally would have been 22 episodes, right? And I like that it was 15 because it gave so much room for us to actually get to know the characters. You know, there were so many characters at first. The first two episodes were good, but for me, it just kept getting better as it built. Mm-hmm. So as the show kind of kept going, I became more and more invested in who these people were and was also maybe a little bit more forgiving for the oversharing, for example. You know, by the end, actually, I was okay with the bangs lady.
Dr. McKay, played by Fiona Dourif, daughter of Wormtongue Brad Dourif.
And he played her father in the in the show. Yeah, that was him. But anyway, yeah, there are actually a few Nepo babies in this show. But I thought that the fact that it was 15 actually served the show really well. And it's not going to serve every show, but I thought this particular show was just fine. And I liked that ramping down at the end. Not every single plot line has been resolved, and that's fine because we're looking at less than a day. We're looking at 15 hours. But I did like the fact that it was 15 episodes. That actually I thought was a plus.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been 12. Like, they could have constructed it so that they told the story they wanted in 12. Like, but more than 8, I think, was good.
Yeah, more than 8 makes sense, but 15 is just, and again, maybe it's just that I'm more accustomed to the way the TV shows are done now. I also love British shows, and those tend to be like 4, 5, 6 mm-hmm. episodes or something like that. 15 was just a big commitment for me. Like, it was, now, once I got going, I just kind of went with it, but man, I definitely felt the time passing.
But don't you remember the days where you would start a show in September, and then it would end in May?
I remember.
And then you'd get a few months off, and then you'd right back there, you know? And it's like,
I'm happy those days are over.
This is better.
This is much better.
But I think but they're going to be coming back in January. You know, they've promised us there's not going to be a 3-year long wait or something between seasons 1 and season 2. So we won't forget, you know, but I think that they're really kind of trying to play on that format a little bit and also, and freshen it up for a streamer kind of service, not broadcast.
So are you going to watch next season with all this gore?
Absolutely.
Are you going to watch?
100%.
Really?
I couldn't get enough of this show. And I thought even though the final one where they're all sitting around drinking beer was earned, I think that some of the effectiveness of the shows, and I'm also thinking of the premiere of ER, which was all about the first night, Dr. Carter's first night, and it just being is being exhausting. So this show was exhausting, so that, yes, at the end of it, you're like, oh, okay, I too can sit back and have a beer and relax from not having to watch this show anymore. As opposed to one of the shows that I just sampled, like in the last couple of days, SkyMed, where in the first episode, you know, there's some to do, and then they're all doing shots at the end, and like, no, this is not earned. I don't want to do shots with these people.
By the end, they've been through a war together, basically, you know? It's like, it does feel earned. I think that's well said.
Clearly something that the show was really trying to do, but the overwhelming feeling for me at the end of the show, I think you expressed this at the beginning, Sarah, was just, thank God it's not me, because I just kept thinking, you guys have got to come in again tomorrow and do, like, hopefully not quite as bad, but you've got to do it all again. And I know for a fact you're not getting paid anywhere near as much as you should be. I don't know why anyone does it, but thank God they do.
Thank goodness.
There are at least some distinct purposes that people have for enjoying these shows. I think, like cop shows, like lawyer shows, for a lot of people, these are comfort food. Like, you know what you're going to expect. You kind of, you know, it's going to tug your heart a little bit. It's going to have a little bit of laughing. It's going to have some characters that you just really like looking at. And so when you have something like The Pitt that is not trying to do, I think Grey's Anatomy might be exactly what mm-hmm. I was just describing there. Yeah, we're going to have some quirky mm-hmm. characters. We're going to have some ongoing romance, some soap opera stuff. I don't know. I think there's still enough, some of that in The Pitt, like from my reading, people are shipping the various characters and, you know, that there's still enough of that. Was this Pitt actually fulfilling the purpose why people watch shows like Grey's Anatomy and Chicago Med? Or is this just a different thing?
I mean, Tumblr's going to Tumblr, right? People are going to be shipping people on any show that goes out. But you asked a question a little bit earlier, Mark, which was about whether it's the characters that make these kinds of shows successful. And I had a thought then, which is just, I think what makes these shows successful is the formula, ultimately. And like, what makes a good new medical drama is someone who can take the premise of setting any kind of story in a medical backdrop and find a formula that sticks or is timely. So like ER, again, is a great example, because that was ultimately just like a classy primetime network TV drama that was set in a hospital. And the reason it was successful was because it was well written, had a huge amount of incredible talent on the screen, and was well targeted at a primetime network TV audience. House was successful, again, mainly because of the way you have fantastic performances from Hugh Laurie and everybody else. But ultimately, it was a murder mystery kind of show. But instead of whodunit, it's like, why isn't it lupus this week? And that was great and incredibly compelling, even though some things about House really do not hold up a few years later. But I think ultimately it's a matter of formula, and The Pitt is taking the medical drama in a new direction that people are like into. And I mentioned The Bear earlier, and I really think there's a lot of strong comparisons there. And I think the reason that The Pitt has become so successful is that it's been made like prestige streaming dramas have been made with the same kind of like focus and care and attention and enormous budget, and it really all come together and paid off. But the next huge medical drama is probably going to be one that again takes a big format risk that pays off, and ultimately I think that's the defining feature of all of these shows that are very successful.
We probably forget that ER itself was, by making it in an ER, like, this was the new format. This was the tweak, is that it's going to be an action show. Saying Elsewhere, very similar show, could be the same show earlier season, frankly, but, you know, a more sedate, lots of different departments, psych comes in. So it's not just like this frantic thing a minute that I feel like there has to be. There should be a gimmick, something that they're doing, whether it's that there's something special about this doctor who has superpowers for a different reason or is dealing with some unique challenge or whatever.
Also, if we're talking about like a formula for success, part of it was the budget on this one. I hear that this show is actually fairly cheap, even though they film in LA, because it's based on a set. It's on a Warner Brothers set. You know, they're not spending a lot of money on like costuming or makeup, as we were talking about before. You know, they're not spending a lot comparatively. I think it's still, you know, it's like, I think, but it's under $5 million a show, which sounds ridiculous to me, but that apparently is very cheap.
It's very cheap
for a show. And that in and of itself is kind of like a formula. And that's one reason why I think they were able to push for a longer season, was because it was also kind of bringing in a lot of this network stuff that we saw in shows like ER or Chicago Hope or whatever, but also able to make it more attractive to people who like to watch things on HBO and Max, you know, make it palatable for that audience.
This is a show that is very, very good. And I hear that Mark and Al want to watch it the second season. I'm intuiting that maybe Sarah might want to watch the second season. For me to watch that second season, I have to be in the right frame of mind. Like, I have to be in, like, in the Walking Dead, Last of Us kind of horror movie excessive frame of mind to watch it, because it's so good. And I will watch it eventually, but it will not be appointment television for me. I can't do it weekly. I have to binge it, and I have to just be in the right frame of mind to watch it, because it is so gnarly that it's not enjoyable. Like, so ER was enjoyable for me, even though people are getting killed, Law and Order or whatever, that's enjoyable. I can put that on and put that on in the background and just kind of do something. But like, I can't be like making dinner during the show. I can't be eating dinner or eating lunch during the show. Like, I have to be in the right frame of mind for it. So, you know, I'm going to watch the second season. It's going to require me to be in the right place.
The whole family gathered around the dinner table watching The Pit together.
I used to watch ER with my mom and grandmother, and we were like, oh, these crazy kids, you know. That is not what's going to be happening with The Pit. It's just not.
Yeah, I will probably watch it again. I'm not really a big binger anyway, but I can't really binge this show. This show is exhausting. It's really gnarly. There's only so much of that I can take. And because we were recording, you know, I was watching two episodes a day, which felt like a lot. It felt like way too much for my system. But with that said, I will probably be back, and I'll probably be watching it in season two.
Sounds like she needs some more of that heroin is what she needs. She needs another hit.
Yeah, Dr. Langdon, hook me up.
As we say goodbye here, I mean, we can say more in the after talk, but are there other recommendations of maybe shows we haven't brought up yet? I know we pre-talked some of this, so I know what Al's recommendation is.
You don't actually, because I've been kicking myself for the last couple of days, because I really should have recommended to everybody a British show called This Is Going to Hurt, which aired a couple of years ago, and is 6 episodes long, Lawrence, which you'll like, but you will not like the fact that there is a lot of pretty explicit obstetrics and gynecology work going on in that show. It's based on the real-life memoir of a doctor published a book by the same name. It stars Ben Whishaw, who everybody will know.
Oh, yeah.
Q from the recent Bond movies, who's absolutely wonderful. And it's very, very similar to The Pit in a lot of ways, because it focuses on how hard it is for the doctors trying to deliver like good care in what is... So the political circumstances of This Is Going to Hurt are, this is austerity Britain in around 2010, 2012. So there is just no money, and everything is just falling through the cracks. And there's a real tension running through the show between NHS provided care and privately provided care. And it kind of follows this doctor who's struggling to cope with his working conditions and is considering jumping to the private sector for an easier life. But it's an incredible show. It's very hard to watch sometimes, but again, also focuses on like the toll that the work and the system takes on the professionals, and only 6 episodes long. So huge recommend on that.
I mean, on the complete opposite spectrum, and it doesn't even deserve to be mentioned in the same breath as The Pitt, although it also takes place in Pittsburgh, so maybe that's the connective tissue. Watson, starring Morris Chestnut, it's on CBS. I'm just going to tell you, man, like I'm a little bit of a nut for this kind of show, but it's like a medical mystery. It's like House, but like a little bit more modern. Stars a black doctor at the center of it. It's a spin on, you know, the Holmes and Watson story. It takes place in Pittsburgh. It's an interesting show. It's been renewed for a second season. I don't know, man. I really enjoyed it. You know, so it's much more light. It's not as grueling, much more enjoyable. That's a little bit more my speed. I really enjoyed Watson.
I didn't even know that counted as one of them. I mean, I've seen that pop up for me.
Yeah, it's a medical
and that he has a stethoscope around his neck, but I assumed it was mysteries.
Well, it's like mystery, but it's medical mystery.
Yeah.
But you know, Watson was a doctor in the Holmes stories. No, so it's sure. Kind of tying all those things together. It's fun. It's very fun.
Yeah. The only thing I thought maybe The Pitt was missing was a little Doogie. We needed some Doogie Howser.
We all need a little Doogie. NBA, you should be in every show.
Yeah, talk about comfort TV. That's something that has truly a little light. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about is sort of how much can the tone vary, because clearly it can be deadly serious and really realistic, or it can be very sappy, or it can be with a lot of irony and, you know, trying to. So I thought, Al, you had gotten me to actually watch some Scrubs, and I didn't realize that Scrubs was as close to a medical drama as it is. I thought it was just a straight, silly comedy. And of course, the things in that area, I remember watching the first few episodes of Nurse Jackie at some point, like that had that spunkiness. I watched just the first episode of Getting On, which now I see is based on a British sitcom. So I guess I should have looked at the British one first. That, since it happens in sort of a senior care facility, it seemed like a different category of thing. But I think that's the ones I find most interesting. I had Cinemax for a few days or whatever channel this is on, watched some of The Nick several years ago, which is a historical one. So it's medical drama, but it's what, 1910 or something? And so it's really gross because they don't know what they're doing. They're chopping open people's heads and stuff. And so that just, like Call the Midwife is actually teaching you something. It's not just the same show over and over again. And I like that better than just have a dopey premise. Like I watched the beginning of Saving Hope. You guys remember this show? It has Erica Durance, Lois Lane in Smallville as the lead. But the premise is that she's a doctor and she's engaged to another doctor, and the other doctor gets into an accident. And so he's a ghost wandering around the hospital while she is solving cases.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's...
Oh, man.
That sounds like a BoJack Horseman joke, that show. I'll be the ghost of a doctor that haunts the corridors of a hospital and solves mysteries.
Around the same time, there's one called Code Black that just, it's Marcia Gay Harden and Luis Guzman. Like, did you know those people were Luis on a medical Guzman? Drama? Yes, he was on a medical drama, and they're like hugging and they're, you know, but I was like, he's like the head nurse.
Seriously, the doctor.
He's the head nurse, but he talks the way he talks.
I can't take this seriously.
No, I don't think it was I ran multiple seasons, so it was not a complete failure.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll share more of my experiences dipping in the after talk. That is patreon.com/prettymuchpop. Thanks, everybody. It seems like we have at least, people should watch The Pitt. I don't think that we ruined anything. I don't think it's possible to ruin. It's such an experience.
Yeah.
You did not spoil anything.
But be ready. If you haven't seen this, be ready for what's coming.
Be ready.
Be ready to learn what deep loving is.
They telegraph every single plot point, so it really is hard to spoil.
All right. Thanks, everybody. So long.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.